Here tonight, the Lord's doing such great things, and I'm excited. All the testimonies of what God's doing in people's lives. How many of you know that God's still a miracle-working God? He still is. And I'm hearing all the time of just some of the miraculous things that He's doing in people's lives, and it just brings such great joy, and I just so appreciate the Lord. Oh, man. You know, it's just, I'm so grateful. I was listening to a song. It's Alabaster Box by C.C. Winant. Anybody ever heard that? Yeah. Have you ever heard Lily McLeod sing that? Oh, my word. I want to tear up and cry every time she sings that. And it's just the lady that, you know, one touch from the Lord just brings such healing to our souls. And I'm so grateful for what Jesus has done in my life. And all the stuff where I've messed up and goofed up and how much of a goof up that I am so much of the time. And He just still loves me. And He's bounding toward us. And man, He loves you tonight. And I'm so glad you're here. I want to grow in the Word tonight. I want to share some things with you from my heart. Let's go over to Isaiah, the 40th chapter, if you'll go with me there. And I just want to remind you, if you're visiting with us or new to the church, that you can find our notes on our Victory Life Church app. You can find the messages as they're ministered and then reproduced and put back on the apps. You can get that at either our location or the Victory Life Durant location, these other locations, and you can follow along and study the Word of God and grow in the Word of God, and we want to do that. So, but tonight, it was so interesting. Tommy and I had not talked, and, you know, the title of my message is, What Do You See? And I thought, oh, my word. And there he is saying, What do you see? I thought, wow, man, that's the Lord, you know. And so that's encouraging to me, but I want to share some things within my heart tonight about the Lord. Look at verse 28. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of His understanding. Let's go to the next verse. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, He increaseth strength. Praise God. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Man, that's where I want to be right there. I want to be waiting on the Lord, and I want to experience all that He has for me, drawing from Him. And so I want to share with you this morning. Let's set some objectives for ourselves for this coming year. I believe that 2020 is going to be a great year. I want to go into it believing it's going to be a great year, expecting it for it to be a great year, and I'd like to reach some objectives in my walk, and I pray that you would too. So here's some objectives that we can do. Let's remove the ceiling limits of our faith. You know, wherever we have hit, sometimes we feel like we've gotten to a ceiling in our faith, and I want to remove that ceiling. I want to go above and beyond what I've experienced in God. I don't want to look for Him how I saw Him in the past. I don't want to miss Him. I don't want to miss what He's doing in the future and what He wants to do in my life, and I'm sure you don't either. And I want to soar with God. I want to mount up with wings as eagles, and I want to experience the reality of my faith. So that should be all of our objectives. Man, I want to experience the reality of the faith that I'm living, the reality of the God that I live for, the God that I serve, the God that has saved me, the God that I'm going to spend eternity with. And, you know, the trouble is that we want to soar, but it seems like we can't get off the ground at times. You ever felt that way? You want to soar, you know, and sometimes our flight looks like a flock of turkeys rather than eagles, you know. It's like, oh, come on. We go up a little bit and down we come, you know. I sometimes wonder how those turkeys got so high in the trees when I've seen them fly. But, you know, why is that? Why is it that we don't soar? And so I'd like for us to examine that tonight and hopefully find out why we're not soaring with wings of eagles. And let's look at Ephesians, the third chapter, and I believe it should start with the basics of faith. And let's go there in Ephesians 3:20. Now you can keep your finger there in your notes, and we're going to come back to this verse many times through tonight. But it says this, "Now unto Him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us." How many of you know that God is able? Yeah. Okay, that's a few of you. How many of you believe that God is able? It's okay to express your, okay, so that's more of you. God is able, and He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that's working on the inside of us. Now let's look over to Romans, the fourth chapter. And, you know, you make note of this. Write down Romans 1:20. And we see the existence and the power of God in creation. You know, Romans 1:20, it talks about the attributes of God, the personality of God, that in creation you can see those things in God. And it really says that, you know, man is without excuse. If you have eyes to see and you look around, you look at creation, you look at life, you look at the world, I mean, you can't deny that there's God. Come on. People, the wickedness of people's hearts, what blinds them to the fact of God's existence. But so in Romans, we see in creation God's ability when we look at creation, but his ability to, as he relates to man, when we look at Abraham, our father. And look at Romans, the fourth chapter. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believeth, even God, who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were. He's talking about Abraham, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. One thing about Abraham, it says, was that he was strong in faith. Well, you know what? That's what we need. That should be our objective, is to become strong in faith. We need to be strong in faith. Let's go to Hebrews 11, verse 6. I've got a few scriptures to lay some groundwork as we're moving forward. And this is a familiar scripture that without faith, it's impossible to please God. It's impossible to please God without faith. So I want faith. I need to discover what that is. What does that look like? How does that function in our life? How do I look at myself? How do I look in the mirror, as Tommy would say, am I walking in faith? And it goes on to say, for he that cometh to God must do two things. He must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So two things it said there. The person who comes to God must believe that he is. To believe that he is, we have to believe in the reality and the existence of God. And when you look at the world, you know, the world doesn't, in and of itself, by the wickedness of the world, don't believe in God. And they're looking for proof. And it, you know, when you look at the Bible, it's not the paradigm of framework that the world is fashioned by. They don't think that way. They don't think of it as believing God. Romans 8:6 says that the Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we're the children of God. And I've wrestled with this for years, thinking in a scientific way of trying to prove things, you know, doing scientific experience through college and a variety of things and trying to prove certain theorems and stuff like that. Well, you know, if you go to the world and you try to say, how do you prove that there's God? I'm not going to look to the world to prove that there's God. I'm going to look to my heart to prove. To me, by that witness on the inside, I just know that I know because the Holy Spirit tells me on the inside that he's real and that I'm his child. And I'm not going to try to prove it. I'm just going to believe it. I'm going to believe the witness that's on the inside of me. And we know that he exists in our hearts. We just need to believe and know that he exists in every part of our life. If I want my faith to go higher, I need to believe that he's wanting to get involved with everything, every dynamic of my life and everything that I'm connected to. And so, to me, when you say, here you are coming to God, you must believe that he is, almost as like a contradictory of terms, isn't it? Well, I'm coming to God, then it tells me I got to believe that he is. Why would I be coming to him if I didn't believe that he is? Y'all get that? And I'm thinking, well, okay, what would the symptoms of not believing look like when he's talking to Christians? And one would be, well, what about believing in evolution? What about all of the Christians that I've heard that actually say, well, there's not a literal hell. There's not a literal hell. No, that's not real. I would say it's basically not believing the Word of God. Yeah. I got my ticket to heaven. I believe he paid the price for me, but I don't know about the rest of that stuff in there. You know, I believe that God exists in the Word of God. And when I spend time in the Word of God, I spend time with Jesus, discovering his heart. He is the Word. I discover him and spend time with him. And then, you know, if I believe the Word of God, then I can't believe in evolution. I can't believe in reincarnation. I'm going to find God in His Word. That's why I appreciate my brother just praying that we would grow in the Word of God. And I've had people, man, I get flabbergasted at some of the Christians who make certain statements that I think, oh my goodness, what are you thinking, man? I had one guy that and he was a friend, as friends go in relationship in the church. And he said, man, I've got to fast from the Word. I'm getting too much Word. And I thought, what? What? Have you lost your mind? Man, you're listening to the devil, dude. Because it's in the Word that brings life. You know? And so, well, anyway, I just threw that in there. Our question again is, how are we going to soar like eagles? Here again, Hebrews 11, you know, without faith it's impossible to please God. For he that comes to God must believe that he is. And secondly, he must believe that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. That's a critical step in going higher in our faith. That, you know, we believe that he's a rewarder. Look over in Acts. Now, I'm just going to give you a reference. I don't have time to read all this. Acts the 10th chapter, Acts the 11th chapter. In Acts the 10th chapter, I love reading that about Cornelius, the Roman captain. He was the captain over the Italian regiment in this area, and he believed in God. He believed in the God that the Israelites served, and he was a devout man. He was a devout guy that loved God, and he wanted to serve the God that they served, and he had a giving heart. His whole family had a giving heart, and he would give to the poor, and in that story, you know, an angel appeared to him and said, all your giving and all of your heart and all your prayers have been a sacrifice up to God. And the angel, you know, connected him with Simon Peter because this man wanted to know how to get saved. He wanted to know, how can I connect with God and live with God for eternity? And if you haven't read the story, you need to go read chapter 10 and chapter 11. But in this one, you know, believing that God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him really impacted the Jewish believers at that moment. Because Peter, you know, I don't want to get bogged down here in the story because you're probably familiar with, Peter was a devout Jew, and he was in this home where these guys were sent to find him, and the people in the inn were fixing dinner, and he was up on this flat roof and looking, you know, just to talk to God a little bit, and God sent him into a trance or a vision. And you remember the sheet that was let down by the four corners of these animals. God said, take and eat. He said, Lord, no, Lord, I'm not going to defile myself with. They had certain religious laws about certain things they could eat, and God told him, said, don't call anything I create uncommon or unfit. And he gave him that vision because he was preparing him to minister to the Gentiles. And so that was let down three more times, and God really made an impression on him. And you're gonna, so you said, there's some guys downstairs, I want you to go with them, don't hold back, go with them. And that's when he took him to Cornelius's house, and Cornelius wanted to know, how do I be saved? And so in chapter 11, in verse 15, that's when he came before the Jews at Jerusalem, the church there, and they were saying, what are you doing? He started to share with them about the situation that happened in the house of Cornelius. And at the end of that chapter, they got the Holy Ghost just like the Jews did on the day of Pentecost. For they spoke in other tongues. And they, after all that happened, said, well, what's going to keep these guys from being baptized, you know? And so in verse 15, as they're examining him, Peter's saying, and as I began to speak, the Holy Ghost fell on them as on us at the beginning. And then remembered I the word of the Lord, how that he said, John indeed baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. For as much then as God gave them the like gift as he did unto us who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, what was I that I could withstand God? See, at that moment, those believing Jews realized that God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him, even if they're the heathen Gentiles. That means if they could get it, I could get it. If those that captain of the Italian regiment, that Roman officer, could get the Holy Ghost, I could get it. He says he rewards those who diligently seek him. The same God then is the same God today. Now, you know I'm talking to you, right? If God did that for them, he'll do it for you. If you read in there what God did for somebody else that's diligently sought him, God will do it for you. Because God loves you that much. He's true to his word. So again, Ephesians 2:8, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that is not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Just believe it. Now look in Matthew, the 7th chapter. Faith pleases God, that he exists and that he's a rewarder. Now this passage, again, I want you to go back, just take notes. Matthew 7, verse 7 through 11, that's where it talks about knocking and seeking God and asking, and you're going to get it. Just keep on. God's a rewarder. And verse 11 says, If you then, evil as you are, know how to give good and advantageous gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, who is in heaven, perfect as he is, give good and advantageous things to those who keep on asking him? He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Quit listening to the lies of the devil. Quit listening to the lies of the enemy. God's a rewarder. You know, and don't just stop at God's existence. Go on to being him being a rewarder in your life. It's time to see for yourself who God is. Who God is in your life. See, when you have that vision is a gateway into the supernatural. Are you hearing me tonight? That vision of God being a rewarder in your life is a gateway into the supernatural to receive from God more than you could even imagine. Ephesians 3:20 again. Now he, unto him that is able to do exceedingly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works on the inside of us. He's saying that, listen, it's according to something that has taken place on the inside of you. You're not the same before Christ. You're a new creature in Christ Jesus. Something happened inside of you. It doesn't matter if you look in the mirror and you still look the same. On the inside, something different has happened. According to the power that works on the inside of you, and I believe that that power is by the Holy Spirit. Because in Ephesians 3:16, it says that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit on the inner man. By his Spirit. Boy, you need to be connected to the Holy Ghost. You call him Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit. He's holy. I don't care. I want to connect with him. And I'm not going to be offended by it in any way. I need to connect with the Holy Spirit because he's the one communicating to me God's will, God's purpose, Jesus' direction. Come on. He's the one. You're the temple of the Holy Spirit. He came to live and walk with you, but to be on the inside of you, to be strengthened. So I need to be having a little bit of conversation with the Holy Ghost. I need to commune with him like the apostles did. Help me to serve Jesus better. Help me to understand, Holy Spirit. Be my teacher and guide today, my comfort, so that I can live and serve God. Amen. So the Holy Spirit's at work on the inside of you. You know what? You have to see this. You have to see this. You got to see it with your mind's eye. You've got to see that he's on the inside of you. Ephesians 4:23 and 24, be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. If anything in you is righteous, it's your spirit man. You've got to see that. I'm just an old bum, man. I'm a crumb. I'm a sinner, man. I'm sorry. No good. I've been a worm all my life. But you ain't the same man. You ain't the same person after asking Jesus into your heart. You got to see that he's done something different. Amen? How are you going to put on something that you can't see? How are you going to put on something that you can't see? Let's look at the Mark 5, the woman with the issue of blood. Let's look at verse 25. Now, this is a wonderful story. Now, this is the story of a certain woman. She had an issue of blood for 12 years. That means she was hemorrhaging somehow for 12 years. How did she survive so long? But she had a problem, and she had suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all that she had, and she was nothing better, but rather she was growing worse. So it's a bad situation. Verse 27, when she'd heard of Jesus, it's amazing to me, when you really think and meditate about this, it says she came in the press behind him. Have you ever been in a crowd of people? I mean a real crowd. Okay, go visit the island of Haiti, Port-au-Prince, or New York City. They're about the same. They're thick with people. And if I see somebody coming, If I can get in front of them and kind of weed through and catch them as they come, I stand a better chance. But if I'm trying to catch them from behind, that takes some real effort. And you've got a lady here that's been losing blood. She's hemorrhaging. She's getting worse. She's probably weak. But you see the determination of her faith. And verse 27, so when she heard of Jesus, she came in the press behind and touched his garment. Now this is the key, verse 28. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. Now you know the story straightway. She was healed. And it scared her a little bit because Jesus said, who touched me? He looked around verse 32 and he said round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done to her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, daughter, thy faith has made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. I submit to you that I believe she saw herself healed of the disease. Before she touched his garment, she saw in her heart and she acted on her faith. She said, if I could but touch the hem of his garment, I'll be whole. I'll be healed. She saw herself being, I mean, I'm telling you, think of the dynamics of that. Power surged from Jesus through the very fabric of his garment and flowed into that woman and brought healing. I believe she saw it. She saw it. And you know, when we think about the things in our life, there's nothing in this life that we do that we haven't seen it first. Come on, you think about that. The things that we say, the things that we do, we see it in our mind's eye. Ephesians 3:20, go back there to our text again. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above what we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Think. That word think in the Greek, probably a better translation of that as imagine. Because the NIV, I believe, translates now to him that is able to do immeasurably more than all that we ask or imagine. Everything that we do is with our imagination. Think about that. We use our imagination every single day. It's a mental image. Your imagination is a mental image. We function by our imaginations. If someone asks me directions to my home, I'm picturing it. I see it in my imagination, in my mind, a mental image of where you turn. Here's where I turn. Here's a street number. I try to remember that sign, you know, the name of that sign. Okay, but I'm seeing it in my imagination. I don't go by the list view. I go by the map, you know what I'm saying? So I see that in my mind. I see these pictures in my mind. My imagination or imagery of my mind is where the problem is to not soaring like an eagle. All that we ask are imagine. So chances are sometimes we see ourselves as turkeys, not eagles. Come on. People wrestle with self-image. Even though God gives you your image in Him, we still wrestle with the self-image that the world gives us. I believe that we have two images on the inside of us. One is we see what we're capable of doing and what we're incapable of doing. That image is adjusting as I'm getting older. I can't do the things I could when I was 30, unfortunately. But we also have this other image, number two, is the ceiling or the limit of what God is able to do in our life. We have this image in our minds of what God can do in our life, and many times we have Him at this limit of what He can accomplish in our lives. By faith, Abraham saw that God was well able and faithful to fulfill His promises. What is it that you see in faith today? I love what Tommy, with the illustration of looking at God. What is it that you see? What is it that you're imagining? And listen, it's not this mind over matter. I mean, I went through some of that in the martial arts in college, and I've seen some pretty phenomenal things that shocked me. This is not mind over matter. It's believing, seeing, and acting on your faith to experience the Word of God. Yeah. Imagination, let me give you the definition. We're really going to get into some good stuff here in just a moment. It's forming mental images or concepts of what is not actually present to the senses. Have you ever used your imagination? Come on. It's things that you see that's not actually present at that moment to the sense realm. And I look in the definition. You look in your dictionary, you're going to see this other phrase. It's called creative imagination. Now pay attention to me now. Don't mean to lose you now. Creative imagination. Here's the definition. Recombining former experiences or knowledge in the creation of new images directed at a specific goal and aiding in the solution of problems. So you're looking back and you're seeing experiences, things that you know to be true, and you're combining those things and applying to them to something else ahead of you as a solution. With kids, they use their imagination all the time. It's a world of play and discovery. For us, it's as adults, it's solutions and goals. Mark 16 says that you and I as believers, believing the Word of God, we would lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. When you pray for people, do you see them recovered? Do you see them healed? My oldest son, when he was just a little bitty guy, he's big enough to crawl up in a chair, and we had these high back chairs in our kitchen, and Kathy's in the kitchen one day cooking, and we had this stove that folds down, but you remember the stoves that had the big broiler underneath that slides out? Remember the broiler? And it had the little lid that folded down like this, and he'd crawl up in that chair, and Kathy'd put him out of the chair, move the chair back, turn around and start doing something. Well, he was active. I guess that's a good word. He's an active young kid, you know, a little kid. Before she could turn back around, he'd pull that chair up again because he wanted to get up and see what's cooked on the stove. You know how kids are. Crawled up there, and when he did, that chair fell over. The back hit the broiler door, knocked it open, and he slid into the broiler. And it burned the side of his face. It burned all this arm all the way down here and here, and his skin just falling off. And Kathy grabs him up. He's screaming in pain. I'm gone to work. I have the only car that we have, and I'm gone. My dad lives like next door, and she goes and gets JR. You got to drive me to the hospital, which was 18 miles away. And as they get in the car, he's screaming and crying the pain, you know, that burn. And she said, JR, pray with me right now that the pain will stop. And it's like a gift of faith just came over her. And she prayed, took authority over the pain, and it suddenly just quit instantaneously. And the doctor got to the doctor, and the doctor was a retired Air Force doctor, Dr. Scaff, I believe is his name. And he said, this has got to be the toughest kid. He said, now here's what's going to happen. You're going to have to, he bandaged him up, doctor. He said, you're going to come back. We're going to have to start removing that skin. It's going to crack and bleed and scar and scab up. It's going to do all this terrible stuff, but we've got to do this. And so I had gotten home, and Kathy, I said, listen, if God can heal him of the pain, creative imagination, if God can heal him of the pain, God can heal the burn. And so we prayed for him. And then I took him back to the doctor, and of course his arm's all bandaged up, and suddenly the doctor wasn't there that day. He got called out on an emergency of some sort, and I took him home. So I took that bandage off, and I said, I'm not going to take him back. I rubbed my hand. All that skin was just, it was terrible. Rubbed my hand like this. All that skin fell off, and it was perfectly pink and healed underneath. I mean, he has no scars, nothing on his face, nothing on his arm, either one. And listen, creative imagination would me being me putting that together to say, God was true to his word to heal my son. God is true to his word to bring healing today. So I need to see it in my mind of faith and put it together and say, if God did it then, he can do it now. He's the same God then as he is now. The same God now as he was then. So what is it that God has ever done in your life? What is it that God has done for you? If nothing else, he saved you and you felt that love, that drawing to him, that embrace. God's a God of compassion and a Father of comfort. It starts there. I mean, if you let your imagination think of things, and it'll start coming back to your remembrance. Well, God did this for me. God did this. He could do this now. He's able to do abundantly above all that you ask or imagine, putting pieces together with His Word. Well, God said in His Word, this is what He did for me. This God said, if I ask, I'll receive. If I seek Him, I'm going to find Him. If I knock, the door will be open. Keep on knocking. Are y'all hearing this? This is a year that we should look. I want to reiterate, go fire up my faith. I don't want to have a limit and a ceiling to my faith. I want to remove that and remind myself of the Word of God in areas where I've been just being lackadaisical at times. Are y'all with me? Wow. Praise God. Jeremiah, first chapter. How much time do I have? Jeremiah, first chapter. Verse 8, be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Then the Lord put forth His hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said unto me, behold, I have put my words in your mouth. See, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out, to pull down, to destroy, and throw down, to build, and to plant. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me. I'm going to look at verse 11 here. The Lord came to me, Jeremiah, what seest thou? And he said, Lord, I see a rod of an almond tree. Verse 12, then said the Lord unto me, thou hast well seen, for I will hasten my word to perform it. Now listen to the Amplified. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Jeremiah, what do you see? And I said, I see a branch or a shoot of an almond tree, the emblem of alertness and activity, blossoming in late winter. Then said the Lord to me, you have seen well, for I am alert and active, watching over my word to perform it. Now think about that. God knows what He was showing Jeremiah. He was seeing if Jeremiah could see it. God will show you through His Word and show you the truth of His Word and show you His faithfulness. He's wanting to know, do you see it? He gave Jeremiah an opportunity to vocalize what he's seeing and say, you're right. Are you hearing me? How many times is the Holy Spirit working in your heart, trying to do a work in your heart, trying to show you things? The question is, are you seeing it? Are you acknowledging it? We want to soar like eagles, then we need to see it. We need to see God and His Word and how He fulfills His Word. He hastens to perform it. Mark 16, verse 20, and they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the Word with signs following. How do you see it? How do you build your imagination? I think you feed your vision and imagination by the Word of God. They preached the Word. They preached the gospel. They preached the truth. They preached the good news. They didn't preach their feelings. They didn't preach their emotions. They preached the Word of God. And He hastened to perform the Word of God. He backed up the Word of God. So what is it, the Word you're speaking over your life? The Word of God builds the imagination of faith. Jeremiah 29, very familiar scripture. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. I love that part. Sometimes we think we know what God's thinking. And God says, what? I know my thoughts toward you. I know what I'm thinking toward you. Thoughts of peace and not of evil. To give you an expected end. Then shall you call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you, and you shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all of your heart. What is it you see? Do you see the Lord responding to you? Do you see the Lord hearing your voice? Do you see yourself walking in the peace that God has for you, a wonderful expected end? Do you see yourself prospering in the things of God, God taking you through circumstances, through trials, through all the challenges of life? Do you see God taking you through that to give you an expected end? Do you see that in the end, God wins? He wins in my life no matter what happens in my life. I'm going to win. If I die tonight, I still win. Come on. The thoughts of God. You know, when God, and I'll close with a few more comments, but when God destroyed the world during the time of Noah, it was because of their imaginations being filled with evil. We're talking about imagination, our thoughts, how we see things. In Genesis 6, verse 5, and God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth. Now listen. And that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And he repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. Now, the one thing that I see in this is that we have control of our imagination, our thought process, our creative imagination. The things that we put together, even in the midst of challenges. And I see that when we're not doing it, it's grieving God. When you're not taking hold of those things, that's not pleasing to God. And this is my thought, my feeling toward this. If you're going through a challenge, and we all go through challenges at times, and I have as well, and physical challenges as well as spiritual challenges. And what I see in the midst of people who are faced with pain, it begins to affect their imagination of being healed. They begin to see themselves suffering for the rest of their life. Are y'all with me? My grandmother, on my mother's side, was the one person back in my life where right before I got saved at 13, I went to visit her in Oklahoma, and she was bedridden with rheumatoid arthritis, and she felt she'd been married several times, and she felt because of that situation, she had sinned against God, and she was suffering that because of her sin. She couldn't see God's forgiving grace and His mercy. She was the one that prayed for me and said, I'm praying for you. And she used my nickname, which I won't share with you. I'll never tell. And said, I'm praying for you that you're going to quit fighting in the world and fight for God. And her prayers have come to pass. But she couldn't see the mercy of God. She couldn't see God's grace working in her life to empower her to get up off because I believe the pain was robbing her of her imagination. And the physical pain. Maybe the pain of loss and disappointment of all the relationships. But see, because our pain is not always physical. Our pain sometimes is emotional. Of hurt, disappointment, abuse, loss. And those things, if we don't watch it, if we don't take control of those things and do a good warfare by the Word of God, it will rob us of our imagination toward the things of God working in our life. And I believe that it can keep us from soaring with wings of eagles. If we can walk in the peace of God. See, God says to come and cast your cares on me, Jesus said, because I care for you. Come and rest in my works. Come to me, you that are burdened and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Are y'all seeing this? And if you're here tonight, and listen, you know your heart. I don't know. I see what you show me. Same as you see what I show you, okay? Are y'all with me? You know your heart. You know the challenges that you're going through. You possibly know where you're being robbed of the things of God. You know inside of you whether you're soaring with the wings of eagle or you're grounded. You know if the devil's trying to steal your creative imagination in the things of God and the goodness of God. See, don't wait for the sweet by and by. Don't wait till you get to heaven to experience God. We need to experience Him on this side of the veil of life. Amen? The goodness of God. This is the Word of God. This is the Word of God. Jesus loved you so much, He paid a price. You have a blood-bought, God-given right to walk in the newness of life, to walk in a a renewed mind that is able to be creative, that when someone comes up to you and they're asking for prayer and their hearts are breaking, that you can see God working on their behalf. And when you pray the prayer of faith, because you can see them being healed. And you pray the prayer of faith because according to the Word of God, you see them being healed and Jesus will raise them up. God is well able to do abundantly above all that we ask or imagine according to the power that works on the inside of us. You got to let the power work on the inside of you to set you free and the things to soar high. And let me share just a couple of things with you and I'll close. Imagineering. See, I believe the world has gotten hold of some of the principles of God. I know it's true. I grew up in the oil field, and I can remember my dad showing me when I started welding and I was working in the oil field and making a living. He said, son, be careful what you say about people. If you say something bad, it could take 1,000 good words to make up for that bad word. In other words, other statements, have you ever heard this? What goes around comes around. Come on. What goes around comes around. The principle of the Word of God is you will reap what you sow. See, people in the world have gotten hold of some of the principles of God, even of the levels of success. What you lay your hand to will prosper. There's so many other principles. You got to imagine yourself being successful. You get knocked down, you get up. You get knocked down, you get up. How many people, I mean, I've actually met people that have been millionaires a couple of times and lost it and get back up. Well, there's this statement that came out in 1940 by Alcoa. The word was invented by Alcoa around 1940 and appeared widely in numerous publications of several disciplines, such as urban design, geography, politics, evolutionary economics, corporate culture, and future studies. Alcoa in 1942, their advertisement was that it was the place that they do Imagineering. Imagineering. Following World War II, Alcoa created an internal Imagineering program to encourage innovative usage of aluminum in order to keep up demand. Time Magazine is the 1942, February 16th edition, the place they do Imagineering. And it said in their publication, for a long time we've sought a word to describe what we all work at hard here at Alcoa. Imagineering is the word. Imagineering is letting your imagination soar and then engineering it down to earth. Wow. Letting your imagination soar and then bringing it into your reality is what I look at as Christians. Let your imagination soar in the things of God, what He's saying into your life, speaking into your life, and bringing it into the reality of your world. Oh, praise God. Is anybody getting this? What is it God is saying to you? That you're more than a conqueror through Jesus Christ? That you're above and not beneath? You're blessed going out, blessed coming in? That whatever you lay your hand would prosper in the name of Jesus. Letting your imagination soar in the things of God and bring it in by faith and let it impact and affect your world, your life. It's called Imagineering. A couple other things. Oh, let's see. Other notable pre-Disney usages include October 24, 1942, mentioned in the New York Times, an article called Christian Imagineering. I'm going to go on down past that. But, you know, there was another thing, Disney, everybody know Disney? Ever been to Disney World? Disneyland? Disney TV? Disney something. Y'all still, okay. See, in what year was it? They patented the term. Brainstorming is imagining engineering. They filed a copyright for the term in 1967. Anyway, they didn't know that God was trying to get that into us since the creation of the world. Imagining and engineering into your life by faith what God is speaking into your heart. Amen. If you want to soar like eagles, it's time we start saying, start reading the Word of God. Start reading the Word of God. Before you start reading, say, Holy Spirit, let me have ears to hear and eyes to see what God would say to me today. What God would say to me today. The devil ain't going to like you doing this. Satan ain't going to like you doing this. There ain't a thing he can do about it. He's a defeated foe. God, what is it you would say to me today? and let your imagination soar. And then say, God, let it be done unto me what your word says. Bring it into your world. Amen? Let's stand together. We'll pick this up next time we're together. Amen. I hope you're getting something out of this. Praise God. Praise God.